You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com.
They can't take it. They can't handle it. They can't admit the truth. Simple, basic, fundamental truth about how wrong they all were. That's the headline. They don't want to admit the truth. They're losing it. The entire Democratic Party, media, mob, you know, they're willing accomplices in the media, the mob, the Democratic Party, extreme radical socialist mob, their best friends in the world, the extension of all things extreme radical socialist Democrats, none of them can admit that they have been telling and advancing lies for 2+ years, conspiracy theories, a hoax. And the whole narrative is now, whether they'll ever admit it or not, probably never. It's dead. The Attorney General of the United States of America put this to rest completely yesterday in his testimony. And by the way, rightly, you know, it's never happened before, and it's pretty amazing that they thought this was going to work. Well, we'll tell you what we're going to do. We're gonna send our lawyers in. That's what we'll do. We'll send our lawyers in because we're too dumb to ask the questions ourselves. You know, in the 206-year history of Nadler's committee, by the way, it's the same Nadler that didn't want the Ken Starr report ever released. That Jerry Nadler. Amazing what a transformation has taken place after such hypocrisy. That in the 206-year history of that committee, staff have never, ever questioned witnesses in an oversight hearing. Nobody's not recognizing Congress's constitutional role, oversight, and as a check and balance. You know, I believe in the Constitution, rule of law, co-equal branches of government. But what they wanted to do is remove themselves from the questioning of the Attorney General, and they wanted to insert their lawyers. And that has never happened in the 206-year history of this committee. Not a single time. And to then say that Chairman Nadler's demands are unprecedented, well, that would all be a huge, massive understatement. And it just is amazing the reaction that we're getting from the Democrat. They can't handle that Barr said, no, he's not going there. You want to ask him what? They can have their lawyers. This is their problem. They got 5 minutes. That's all they get. Each member shall have 5 minutes to question a witness. A lot of members up there. It's a lot of time for a particular witness on any particular case. Members shall have the right. Members. So they're going to change that today as if that makes it okay and change a 206-year history just to benefit them. And you know what the real reason is? Is as we saw yesterday, the Attorney General is too smart for them. This is somebody that this is not his first rodeo. This is a guy that literally blew the doors off all of them yesterday. He literally sat there at times kind of holding his head up saying, you just read his body language thinking, this is so stupid. You people are so dumb. You people don't understand. You know, you can believe whatever you want. And he just answered with precision, simple, basic training, knowledge, understanding, passion for the Constitution and the rule of law. And that's what they don't like. That's why he's got to be impeached. He's got to be fired. He's got to be impeached. He's got to be fired. He's got to be impeached. Now they want to impeach him. And, you know, but don't worry. They're just, you know, the question is, would they ever just take a time, a moment to just reflect? Okay, what's the truth here? How did we get here? Okay. Is it possible that now we've had four separate occasions where this narrative of conspiring with the Russians for electoral interference, you know, the irony of all of this is Devin Nunes warned everybody. This is not the first time the Russians have done this. And by the way, it probably won't be the last. And this is what they do. They don't just do it to us. They do it to every country. This is why they are a hostile regime to the United States. And by the way, there is a way to beat back Putin, which, by the way, I champion. I love my own idea. That's good because it's my own. And the answer is because he is a hostile actor. This is a hostile regime. You know, now trying to prop up the dictatorship in Venezuela. Cuba has 20,000 troops there. The Iranians are there doing training. Then, of course, you know, they fund Hezbollah. And, of course, Hezbollah is even in Venezuela. You know, they don't care about the Venezuelan people. They want to be as close to the United States as humanly possible. And this should be one of the richest countries on earth with all their oil reserves. And unfortunately for the people, it's one of the poorest because they're eating out of garbage cans. We have that video. And Jorge Ramos had the unmitigated gall of asking the dictator, Maduro, look at this video of your people eating out of garbage cans, out of garbage trucks, actually it was. But there is a way to stop Russia. There is a way to defeat Russia. Now, Reagan won the Cold War. And you know what Reagan did? Reagan built up our nation's defenses. Reagan was not swayed by Reykjavik when they demanded that we stop building up our military forces and we discontinue the strategic defense initiative mocked by the media at the time as Star Wars, and he's going to start World War III. And when that summit ended in Reykjavik and Reagan said, yet no deal, walked out, came home, and the media beat the crap out of him. Guess what? We continued with strategic defense. By the way, one modern example of strategic defense is the Iron Dome, which we helped create, that is being used pretty much every day in Israel. In other words, this system, I've been there twice now. And the first time I was there was during the last conflict and war. That's when I went into the tunnels. I went out with the IDF forces. That's when, you know, I sat in on briefings and meetings. And that's when I went to Sadrot and the border city with Gaza. I went to the police station. That's when I saw all the rockets that had been fired over a 10-year period. It is a short distance, the city where people will not leave. It's their hometown. It's their territory. I would ask, why don't you just leave? You're getting hit with rockets, 10,000 rockets in 10 years. And they say, this is our home. And kids can't play outside because the distance is so short, they don't have enough time to get to a shelter. So they have underground playgrounds, sadly, in this town. I went there, and the day before we got there, a kibbutz was hit with a rocket with every bit of shrapnel for human destruction you can imagine. Glass, BBs, steel, I mean metal, anything to destroy. And that's what that city faces every day. You want to beat Russia? I have an idea. I know how to do it. Russia's economy is based on one thing, energy. Now, we have more than they have. We have the single largest oil and gas reserve, natural gas reserves in the entire world. In other words, the things that the new Green Deal would eliminate in 10 years. Not only, you know, remember when Merkel, you know, making, how stupid of her, the lifeblood of every economy is energy, and to allow a hostile actor like Putin full, complete control and power over your economy, and all he has to do is turn off the spigot and you're done. Your economy goes right down the tubes, which, by the way, is pretty much the situation in Europe anyway. You know, we're at 3.2% GDP growth even during a government shutdown, and they're at 0.2%. I mean, it's pathetic, the what's going on around the world. But we're growing. We're making trade deals. Our economy's vibrant. You know, factories are being built. Manufacturing centers are being built. The president's ended burdensome regulation for business. He asked businesses, well, what is the government doing to hurt you? Okay, I'll fix that. Okay, why would you want to build in Mexico? No. You do that, I'm going to put a tariff on your products. And they build factories in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and in Ohio and Michigan. You know, so funny, Biden could only get like 1,000 people to show up at this second rally he was at. But I am telling you, you know, look at Pennsylvania. Do you know they have job seminars in prison now in Pennsylvania? You want to know why? They don't have enough workers and they're asking prison, well, when do you get out? Because we want to hire you. Good luck, crazy Uncle Joe, you know, Mr. Blue Collar, because your economy sucked compared to the economy we have now. We're a lot better off. And the fake fraud news media won't say it, but the president just scored a massive strategic victory over Russia, did it without firing a shot, because imports of U.S. natural gas to the European Union have climbed 300% since 2016. The bulk of the increase coming after Trump met with European officials in 2017 and negotiated a new trade deal. We expect a new trade deal with China any day, all of which is good for the forgotten men and women, the people that make this country great. Remember the EU made the announcement? They did it, you know, ahead of the meeting between U.S. and business leaders in Brussels on ways to increase natural gas trade. Well, guess what? We're eating right into the heart and soul of Putin's market. I mean, Trump has lobbied intensely for these European countries to shift their energy imports from Russia to the U.S. Now, that's great for America because, as I've been telling people for years on this program, you want to make America rich, use the natural resources of oil and natural gas that we have. We are the world's leader in resources. For the first time in 75 years, we're energy independent and a net exporter of energy. Russian finances pretty much most of their domestic and military budget because of energy exports. You know what? You want to bring Putin to his knees, Russia to their knees? It's simple. Let's produce more natural gas and energy. And if we do that, Germany and Russia, remember, they opposed Trump's stance starting in 2017 when the Trump administration stated and criticized Russia's natural gas pipeline, the Nord Stream 2, it was called. The tide started turning in late 2018 when Chancellor Merkel, who he hammered on this issue, offered government support for a project that would supply Germany with U.S. natural gas after she made that ridiculous multi-billion dollar deal with Putin. And that's just the beginning. We can bring Russia and Putin to their knees. Amazing for a guy that was supposedly colluding with Russia. Well, he's slamming them down pretty quick every single day. Hey, this Mother's Day, don't try and pull the wool over your mom's eyes, you know, getting a cheap last minute gift. Get ahead of the rush, 1-800-Flowers.com, and they have their truly thoughtful and beautiful bouquets. Don't settle for anything less than the biggest, brightest bouquets. 1-800-Flowers has amazing offers on beautiful bouquets and arrangements starting at $29.99, guaranteed to make all the moms in your life smile, and a great way to surprise people that you love. Now, with an amazing selection of sweets and treats and bouquets, 1-800-Flowers has everything you need, the perfect Mother's Day gift. You pick the delivery date. Let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. Order today. Don't put it off. Take care of your Mother's Day needs right now. So to order beautiful bouquets starting at $29.99, the perfect Mother's Day gift, go to 1-800-Flowers.com/Hannity.
order today. 1-800-Flowers.com/Hannity. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Hannity.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. We got so much to get to. I will tell you, and we're going to play some of the highlights. I mean, I could spend hours and hours and hours on the media, the Democratic Party, their reaction to the Attorney General. I will tell you, the Wall Street Journal just nailed it today. You know, Washington pylons are never pretty. This week's political setup of the Attorney General William Barr is disreputable, even by Beltway standards. Democrats, media, turning the AG into a villain for doing his duty, making the hard decisions that special counsel Robert Mueller abdicated. Barr's testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee was preceded late Tuesday by the leak of a letter Mueller had sent the AG March 27th. Mueller griping in the letter that Barr's four-page explanation to Congress of the principal conclusions of the Mueller report on March 24th did not fully capture the context, nature, and substance of the Mueller's team's work and conclusions. Quote, they go on, only in Washington could this exercise in posterior covering be puffed into a mini outrage. Democrats leapt on the letter as proof Barr was somehow covering for Trump when he covered up nothing. And goes into, you know, Senator Hirano and in an answer to Louie Gohmert accusing Barr of abusing his office, lying to Congress, demanding he resign. The only thing she lacked was evidence. Because Barr, as he said Wednesday, offered Robert Mueller the chance to review that four-page letter before sending it to Congress, but the special counsel declined. And Mueller worked for Barr. That was then the proper time to offer suggestions or disagree. But Mueller ducked that responsibility and griped, you know, after the letter was sent conveniently on the eve of Barr's testimony. What a stand-up guy. That's what they say. Barr has since released the full Mueller report with only necessary legal minor redactions as promised and with the context intact. And Mueller was under no legal obligation. This is the thing. He didn't have to release one word to anybody. Only Barr. Not to the reports, Mueller reports to Barr, not to the country or Congress. And Barr has made all the redactions, even, you know, unredactions available, except for 0.1%. And only, let's see, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and Doug Collins went to look. It's pathetic. One thing that is not political, it's smoking. That's about people. And there are 34 million Americans now that smoke. But for many, there's not been a clear alternative. Juul, for me, has been a game changer. I watch people all the time. They go outside in the middle of the freezing winter just to have their smoke. You don't have to do that anymore because of Juul. Now, people don't have to worry about the smell on your hands. Juul was specifically designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative. It's a clean technology. Juul has no ash, no odor, no mess. If you're one of those 34 million adults who do smoke, you now know there's an alternative to cigarettes and cigars. Just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. That's JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. Now, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Let me go back to this Wall Street Journal piece. A real attorney general. Bill Barr gets smeared for refusing to duck and cover like Loretta Lynch. Let's go. Let's just play a sampling montage of the insanity that has been unfolding since the Democratic conspiracy theorist, radical extremist, socialist party and their BFFs in the media mob got news that they can't handle, that exposes them all for having lied, pushed lies, conspiracy theories, hoaxes on the American people. And the biggest thing to come out of yesterday, the big headline that nobody seems to understand yet, but they will, is that, in fact, Mueller's issues, the collusion issue,
Trump obstruction is done. It's resolved. It's finished. It's over. They lied. They tried. They lost. They couldn't handle 2016 and the election results. They can't handle this. And by the way, all it means is if you think for 1 minute, any of them, the Democratic Party or the media mob, if you think for 1 second that they're ever going to stop, you're dreaming. If you think they're going to reflect, be introspective, ask the hard questions, what did I do wrong? How about the other guy did wrong? What did I do wrong in this? What fault do I bring to this table? Never going to happen. They don't have it in them. They're not capable of it. By the way, and you know, that is a sad but all too common response of many people. Nobody likes to admit that they're wrong. Nobody likes to admit that they're responsible. Nobody likes to admit that, oh, wow, the other guys are right. And the two parts that come out of this is Mueller's over. It's done. It's finished. And the other side of it is everything we have been telling you about for 2 years, the rigged investigation, FISA abuse, the dirty dossier, and the bludgeoning and attempt to unseat a duly elected president because they didn't like the results, and these few people not rank and file. I can't say it enough. You know, I had a conversation with a friend last night. I said, I don't like talking about negatively about the FBI or the intel community or law enforcement. I don't like it. There's no joy in this for me. But the truth is the truth here. It's not the rank and file. It's not the 99%. The 99% are just as pissed off as I am. And probably with more reason, because they're proud of what they do. That, you know, anybody I know in the FBI, anybody I know in law enforcement, anybody that I know that is a fireman, anybody that I know is a paramedic, frankly, a teacher, anybody that does this, it is a calling for them. You know, like I live, eat, breathe, sleep, you know, 24/7 politics with a little sports involved. You know, they love what they do. They're good at what they do. They risk their lives every day for protecting us. It's their honor to do so, like the military. Guys I meet in the military, I met guys with their legs blown off saying they want to go back. I mean, it is their calling in life, their higher calling. And so it's the 99% that are good. Same in the intel community. We need intelligence. Bottom line is a dangerous, dark, evil world. I go back to Rocky's speech to his son. Nothing is going to hit as hard as life itself. It is a mean, ugly, dark place. But it's about moving forward. How hard you get hit and keep moving forward.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
You know, I send this to my kids. Probably send it to them a little too often than I should. And it just is true. Life is hard. I don't know anybody that has it easy. I don't know a single person. I don't care if you have money, don't have money. Life is hard. The realities of life are, but it's actually the beauty of life. There's a natural stress in life that when you take it on, and you accept that that is the truth and the reality of life, and you know there are people in everybody's life you're responsible for. If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
and you do that, it is on your shoulders. It never goes away. It's like, it just is instinctive in us. And the people that take such pride in what they do, and those especially that serve in nurses and doctors and teachers and firemen, police, and, you know, my mom was a prison guard. Imagine working in prison for 25 years. So many 16-hour shifts. I mean, never there. Just to provide extra for the kids. Dad, family court probation. Was a waiter as long as his legs held out. You know, both grew up pretty much dirt poor South Bronx. In Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. Not exactly the best place to be born. Grandparents, $10 in their pocket when they arrive from Ireland. Irish Catholic need not apply. Everyone listening to this program has some story. It's all true. And everybody works hard. But everyone is in the service of others in some capacity. You create goods and services. People want, need, and desire your goods and services. And in the process of serving other people, you also put food on the table. You pay for shelter, you get a car to drive around in, and you hopefully get to build up, buy the house, buy a better car, maybe a new truck, you know, then save even a little more. That's why I want energy so bad. I want energy independence so bad and it will beat Russia, bring them to their knees. We will be the world's, you know, think of how rich these oil countries in the Middle East became because they controlled it all. Everybody was dependent on them. We got enough resources here, especially with natural gas, a clean burning gas, clean, that we can provide ourselves and the world for 100 years plus, and in the meantime, develop new green technologies and lead the innovations. It's not going to happen in 10 years to the, you know, 100 plus Democrats that buy into this fantasy. You come up with it, you're going to be, you know, so rich, it'll be ridiculous. But anyway, and then these guys, they can't admit everything now has, this is now the second act that begins. Second act is all that we've been uncovering for 2 years. Not just me. We do a lot of the work here. My staff on radio and TV, they work hard. And the ensemble team we've cast, they all work so hard. We all work sources. We all do real investigative reporting. Listen, I knew in the last 2 years, if we got something wrong, get the living crap beat out of me, you know, even if it was just one time and they're wrong for 2+ years and they get away with just moving on to the next fishing expedition to kill Donald Trump politically. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. All right, let me play the media and the reaction to Barr. Very predictable, but it doesn't mean a thing. Everything with Nadler, everything with Schiff, everything with Maxine Waters, everything with the media mob that you're about, it is meaningless noise. They're clinging to a topic that died yesterday. It is over, and they lost. Their lies were exposed. Their conspiracy, their hoaxes are dead. Listen.
Did the top law enforcement official in the land mislead Congress and the American people to protect the president?
He was being deceptive. He knew he was.
There was an ease with which Barr lied. There are contradictions, there are lies. It's a mystifying performance.
I think William Barr's credibility is really in tatters.
An attorney general who says Tuesday is Monday and the sun is the moon.
Pure political hackery, filled with lies, filled with misrepresentations. Now I think there are cases we can point to that will be, people will say, are perjury. What we have now is an attorney general who has presented himself in a way that's not really refutable anymore. He is fully, obviously corrupted.
For the life of me, I don't know why Democrats would not start gathering evidence to impeach this man. He is actually as dangerous in the position of attorney general as Donald Trump is as president of the United States. And he's unfit and unworthy to be there. Barr is not an attorney general of the United States. He is Donald Trump's defense attorney. He's his lackey. He's his stooge.
I will say this. I am not saying that William Barr lied in front of Congress. Lying in front of Congress is a felony, and that's a five-year penalty. But if he didn't cross that line, he really danced on it.
When they ask you, you're supposed to tell. You can't, listen, you may not like how the conversation goes, but you have to answer the questions. This is not a game. This is not a TV show, man. Yeah. This is our lives. This is America. You got to answer these questions so we can figure out whether this guy does need to be the president again. Yeah. We need to know. And if we can't trust you all to tell us, then I sort of feel like there's a coup happening.
They're gaslighting us.
I love that music. Scary. But it's this, that's the headline. No collusion, no obstruction, and Barr's finished with it. The biggest headline is that nobody in the media mob will stop. They'll never admit they're wrong. Same with Congress. They'll keep making noise. And now they've turned their hate towards the attorney general, who also said, yeah, the second act of this play has begun. FISA abuse, illicit illegal spying, Clinton's rigged investigation, Clinton's collusion with a dirty dossier. We're going to check in with John Solomon later. Yeah, real Ukrainian collusion. We have a massive breaking news story that we'll have on Hannity tonight. The mob is apoplectic. They tried to set the stage with the report from the New York Times, Washington Post, just hours prior to Bob Barr's or William Barr's hearing. And they conveniently granted access to the leaked letter from Team Mueller. And the Washington Post, Mueller complained that Barr's letter did not capture the context of the Trump probe. He was going and planning the whole time to release the whole thing, which he didn't have to do. And then you see buried way underneath the misleading headline, the body of the report contradicts the headline, where they said, oh, quote, the special counsel emphasized that nothing in the attorney general's March 24th letter was inaccurate or misleading. Nothing. He expressed frustration over the lack of context and the resulting media coverage. Something Mueller and I have in common. He's mad at that. According to Mueller, he just didn't like the media coverage. Well, we released the whole thing. Everything they could legally release, they released. And what's so amazing is, only three members of Congress bothered to see the unredacted version with only like 0.1% redacted. Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, and Doug Collins of Georgia, who points out never in 206 years has Nadler's committee ever allowed the lawyers to ask the questions. So Barr is not responsible to answer questions from lawyers because they're too incompetent and apparently feel so intellectually inferior that they can't do it. So he's not testifying in front of the Judiciary Committee. And guess what? He doesn't have to. By the way, look at Nicholas Sandman, that Covington High School kid. First, it was $250 million against the Washington Post. I read the first 20 pages of this filing by Lynn Wood in the case yesterday. Then it was $275 million suing fake news CNN. Now it's $275 million against NBC Universal. And this is just the beginning. Let me tell you about the bludgeoning, the lying, the smearing, the slander, the libel that the media did against this 16-year-old kid with a MAGA hat that he bought that day. Kid handled it perfectly. Once the truth came out, they rushed to judgment. No due process, no process. For a week after, they were still accusing this kid of being a racist and still lying about the story after the facts were out. They're going to lose. Every single one of those media outlets are going to get their asses handed to them. Get out your checkbooks at CNN Fake News. Get out your checkbook at NBC. Get out your checkbook, Bezos, at the Washington Post. I'm sure the New York Times is coming and everybody else. Because you know what? You're all going to pay. And that kid deserves every single solitary cent. And I predict they'll settle at a very high rate and avoid the embarrassment of Lynn Wood publicly destroying them in a courtroom. I know Lynn Wood. He's a great attorney. He doesn't do it for money. He doesn't need any money. He does it for the principle. Because they can't get away with this any longer. Like, they lie about me all the time. There's not a darn thing I can do about it. Whatever.
The report is now in the hands of the American people. Everyone can decide for themselves. There's an election in 18 months. That's a very democratic process. But we're out of it. And we have to stop using the criminal justice process as a political weapon. To the extent there was overreach, I don't want to judge people's motives and come to a conclusion on that, but to the extent there was overreach, what we have to be concerned about is a few people at the top getting it into their heads that they know better than the American people.
I'm not asking for private conversation.
I'm not going to abjure the use of the word spying. I think, my first job was in CIA, and I don't think the word spying has any pejorative connotation at all. To me, the question is always whether or not it's authorized and adequately predicated spying. I think spying is a good English word that, in fact, doesn't have synonyms because it is the broadest word incorporating really all forms of covert intelligence collection. So I'm not going to back off the word spying, except I will say
I'm not suggesting
any pejorative. And I use it frequently, as do media.
When did you decide to use it? Was it off the cuff in the hearing that day, or did you go into that hearing intending to use the word?
It was actually off the cuff, to tell you the truth. And the congressman, well, from Schatz, from Hawaii.
It was here?
Shaheen.
No.
Whoever it was, go ahead.
Yeah, when he challenged me and said, "You want to change your language," I was actually thinking, like, what's the issue? I don't consider it a pejorative, but frankly, we went back and looked at press usage, and up until all the FOIA outrage a couple of weeks ago, it's commonly used in the press to refer to authorized activities, such as referring to the FISA court.
But it's not commonly used by the department.
What?
It is not commonly used by the department. My time is
commonly used by me.
All right, glad you're with us. Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Spying is not a pejorative. You know, this is a dangerous world governed by the use of military force. Spying is what other countries do to us every single solitary day. It is the misuse of the powerful tools of intelligence, weaponizing those tools against the American people when a line is crossed, because we have something called the Constitution. Carter Page is with us now, and let me read a quote that you had to say about the Mueller report. You've written a foreword to an ebook version of the Mueller report, calling it propaganda, comparing his time in front of the Mueller grand jury to being at Guantanamo Bay. Wow. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Sean. And I keep getting better each day, just given the fact, you know, as you were just alluding to, that Attorney General Barr is starting to take some steps to right this wrong that has been done. If I disagree with you on one thing, you know, it's really not about me. These people were coming after President Trump and really the whole Trump movement, you know, as you're correctly alluding to.
But with all due respect, Carter, I mean, they were spying on you, but yeah, you were a conduit into the Trump campaign, but as an individual, as an American citizen, and by the way, one that had a long track record because your business causes you to travel and stay in places like Russia, but you had a long history of cooperating completely with our intelligence services and being debriefed, you know, on a regular basis. And with all due respect, you don't have to say yes or no, confirm or deny. Plausible deniability is fine with me, but I suspect you might have even worked for our friends in the intelligence community at some point.
I can now confirm, because it was came out in that fraudulent Mueller witch hunt report from a couple weeks ago, that I was in frequent contact with members of the U.S. Intelligence community. Unfortunately, it was very much misrepresented in terms of the level of support I'd given, and, you know, a lot of spin throughout that document.
You love your country, Carter?
Yeah.
Love your country?
Absolutely, Sean.
And you have no problem when your country's intelligence services want to know about trips abroad, people approaching you, whether you can give them any information that helps our country, you are more than willing to do it?
Not only that, Sean, I absolutely was, but I did it for free. Just like I was a unpaid junior volunteer supporting the Trump campaign for a few months, for many years and over a decade, really, I was, supporting the U.S. intelligence community. In stark contrast to the person who allegedly, by all accounts, was getting bribed by the DNC, you know, Mr. Christopher Steele, in terms of his dodgy dossier. So, I mean, if you look at the statute for bribery, and I've talked with a lot of lawyers about this, it really, you know, meets most, if not all, of the criteria. So I think we're just, as you've been saying over recent days and nights, we're just getting started here.
Well, I think the key moment, the big headline from yesterday, in spite of the breathless reporting, hysteria, attacks against Barr, and he's getting smeared for refusing, he's like a real attorney general, as the Wall Street Journal said today. The pile-ons are never pretty, but this week's political setup of the attorney general is disreputable, even by Beltway standards. And I think Barr's testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee, you know, preceded by the Washington Post and the New York Times and the leak by the Mueller people of the letter griping about Barr, it was all a setup, but more importantly, which means they're never going to get it. But the reality is, you know, the attorney general said a lot of things. He's done with Mueller. He's made his decision. That means there was no obstruction and there was no collusion, if you will, or conspiracy to work with the Russians in their interference campaign, which Devin Nunes warned everybody about in 2014, and it still happened on Obama Biden's watch. And more importantly, everything that, frankly, me and an ensemble cast have been working on for 2 years and have pretty much been alone and isolated with few exceptions. Talk radio, Rush, Mark, others, Tucker, Laura, Fox and Friends. You know, we've been the only voices saying, no, there's something else that happened here.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. And, you know, to your point about Attorney General Barr getting smeared, if you look at, and you said it perfectly in your conversation with Chairman Graham last night, Senate Judiciary, who led organized yesterday's hearing, you know, it's exactly what happened with then Judge Kavanaugh in his confirmation hearing for the Supreme Court. They just come after people, you know, whether it was myself, but then Judge Kavanaugh and now Attorney General Barr. These crazy Democrats are just going completely out of control. And, you know, to your point in terms of your ensemble team, you guys have really been a lifesaver. You know, I have faced countless death threats, primarily from Oklahoma, but beyond. And you really...
Why Oklahoma? Why would it be Oklahoma, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I, you know, in those, all those 302s, you know, the FBI meetings in March of 2017, I had, you know, as you mentioned, I've been in long discussions and I've long been a supporter of the FBI, CIA, and U.S. intelligence community. And unfortunately,
and by the way,
you know,
so am
I told them, yeah, I absolutely know. I know. I see it. Again, actions speak louder than words. So I had told them that due to the false accusations in the dodgy dossier that the DNC paid for, I got a long series of death threats, and I gave them the details from Oklahoma. And not only have they, did they not move forward during the Comey and McCabe era, but that problem continued to fester and only got continued on throughout much of 2017. You know, so it really was a unfortunate political hoax that the some politicians in the FBI and DOJ were doing in Washington upon on behalf of the Democrat Party, which they're supporting. And unfortunately, it really hasn't come out yet in terms of a lot of those details. The, you know, as I alluded to in my forward to the book, the Mueller report really is a hoax. And it really was in many ways much worse than Guantanamo Bay. But I'm cautiously optimistic that perhaps things are changing here.
What was your experience when you got called in to the Mueller special counsel? It was only one time. How long was it? And paint the picture so people can understand the process.
Well, this is the first time we can really talk about it, Sean. I've always tried to be respectful to what should be a legitimate process. But again, you know, it's exactly as you were saying. There was some really hard-nosed Democrat donors. The majority of, you know, assistant special counsel team members that were in there with me were Democrat donors. And so, but what was interesting about it, Sean, and it goes back to the importance of your great reporting. My one day there, it was really the full day. I was hoping it would end early, but it really went right to the close of business. That was in November 2017. It wasn't until the following month that you reported and your ensemble team reported that, you know, a lot of the definitive Democrat DNC donors were, and you had all the statistics and all the data about it. Mm-hmm. And if I, let me tell you something, if I had known about that previously, it might have been a different conversation, but it was really tough and totally uncalled for.
Were you worried, concerned, because you were also spied on by yes. Stefan Helper, you, Papadopoulos, and Sam Clovis, correct?
Absolutely. I feel terrible about Sam Clovis. You know, there's a new article out this afternoon from the New York Times talking about how, you know, I
have it. The FBI sent investigator posing as assistant to meet with Trump aide in 2016. That one?
Yeah, you're one step ahead as usual, Sean. But, you know, they refer to the fact that I was, you know, positive about Professor Helper. And again, I believe in the, you know, as you always say, innocent until proven guilty. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, I was very positive about that, about him when I briefed Sam Clovis about my interactions. And I feel absolutely terrible. You know, you talk about what happened to me. I feel really bad for everything that Sam Clovis got pulled through with this witch hunt, and he would have been a top
Did you worry that you were going to get one of those pre-dawn raids with guns drawn?
Absolutely never, Sean. You know, I
oh, that's funny, because I thought it was going to happen to me, but that's a different story. shut me up pretty quick.
Well, my only fear, again, just given how corrupt this system was, were these constant death threats that I kept getting. And yeah, again, you know, after all the work,
listen, I've lived through that. And anyone in the public eye, I mean, whenever I see anybody, any colleague, I say something to them, because unfortunately, you know, you don't like to talk about it, but it's part of the fare of being a public figure. It sucks. And I know you're going to sue. I know you said you don't want the money, but I think you need to rethink it. And I think you need to talk to Lynn Wood, the attorney for Nicholas Sandman, that Covington kid. Will you consider doing that?
Sean, you know, as this has just gotten more outrageous, I have had some of the top attorneys and some of the top law firms in the United States reach out and offer some assistance. I have loved learning the law, and
Carter?
However,
Carter?
Yeah, no, I know.
You know what? Are you going to operate on yourself?
No.
Okay. I'm, don't I'm, do this Sean. Yourself anymore. Get yes, the pros yes. in.
Absolutely.
All right. And if you need help getting a lawyer, I know a lot of good ones.
I know you do, Sean. You have some of the best on your show all the time.
So. I have some of the best on my payroll all the time because a million people trying to kill me every day. So anyway, listen, we wish you the best. Carter Page, thoughts and prayers are with you. Sorry that this country did this to you. We are a better country than that. And this needs to be totally gotten to the bottom of. And I am looking at it as my job. As long as it takes, we'll hold them accountable. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sean, for everything.
800-941-SEAN. When we get back, your call straight ahead.
Did the top law enforcement official in the land mislead Congress and the American people to protect the president?
He was being deceptive. He knew he was.
There was an ease with which Barr lied. There are contradictions, there are lies. It's a mystifying performance.
I think William Barr's credibility is really in tatters.
An attorney general who says Tuesday is Monday and the sun is the moon.
Pure political hackery, filled with lies, filled with misrepresentations. Now I think there are cases we can point to that will be, people will say, are perjury. What we have now is an attorney general who has presented himself in a way that's not really refutable anymore. He is fully, obviously, corrupted.
For the life of me, I don't know why Democrats would not start gathering evidence to impeach this man. He is actually as dangerous in the position of attorney general as Donald Trump is as president of the United States, and he's unfit and unworthy to be there. Barr is not an attorney general of the United States. He is Donald Trump's defense attorney. He's his lackey. He's his stooge.
I will say this. I am not saying that William Barr lied in front of Congress. Lying in front of Congress is a felony, and that's a five-year penalty. But if he didn't cross that line, he really danced on it.
When they ask you, you're supposed to tell. You can't, listen, you may not like how the conversation goes, but you have to answer the questions. This is not a game. This is not a TV show, man. Yeah. This is our lives. This is America. You got to answer these questions so we can figure out whether this guy does need to be the president again. Yeah. We need to know. And if we can't trust you all to tell us, then I sort of feel like there's a coup happening.
They're gaslighting us.
Being Attorney General of the United States is a sacred trust. You have betrayed that trust. America deserves better. You should resign.
And then we find out he didn't even review the evidence. I'd say that he also has performed basically in a way that suggests that he is not a professional in the way that he does his work and does not take his duties seriously. So I think he should resign.
I thought he was unfit to serve when he was appointed. I opposed his nomination. I think he probably should resign.
He has burned through any credibility he had in that role, and he should resign.
He's supposed to be a Merrick's attorney, not Donald Trump's personal lawyer, and I really hope that he gets that. Otherwise, he should resign.
If a lawyer engaged in this kind of dishonesty, they would be disbarred. Bill Barr needs to resign.
I think that Barr should resign. And if he does not resign, he should be facing impeachment proceedings also.
Now, I think in the interest of the department should step down, but I have no expectation that he will.
This attorney general has lost any remaining trust he may have had with the American people. And the American people need to be able to trust the attorney general to be the people's lawyer and not the president's spokesperson. So he does need to resign.
And because Attorney General Barr wants to represent Donald Trump, I think he should resign.
AG Barr resign.
Oh, pardon me?
Should Barr resign?
I think he's lost the confidence of the American people. I think he should.
Not going to happen. Good try. 24 till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. This is, as I have been saying and telling, and it they cannot handle a simple, basic, fundamental truth. Four investigations, no collusion, zero collusion. Now they're all upset with Bill Barr. Bill Barr, Bill Barr, Bill Barr. They cling to the letter that Mueller sent to Barr, explained the need to explain to Congress the principal conclusions, et cetera, et cetera. Did not fully capture the principal conclusions of the Mueller report. Okay, so Barr did whatever he could, and that is get on the phone. Well, first of all, you got to step back for a second. Barr testified yesterday. He offered Robert Mueller the chance to review his four-page letter before sending it to Congress. But the special counsel declined. Mr. Mueller worked for Barr. Now is the time to offer the suggestions or disagree. Instead, Mueller ducked that responsibility and then griped he didn't like the media coverage. What in the conversations and the follow-up he was asking, is there anything that was wrong or anything in my letter that you disagree with? No, the answer was nothing. Zero. Absolutely not a single thing that he disagreed with. And I'm like, well, hang on a second. If that's the case, well, I'm trying to understand. Well, then what's the problem? There is no problem. What Barr said yesterday could not be any more clear. The Mueller report, the investigation into Russia collusion is over. They lost. They lied. They peddled lies. They believed in a hoax. They believed in a conspiracy. He didn't obstruct justice either. And it wasn't just Barr that made the decision. It was the deputy attorney general who started the whole thing because Jeff Sessions recused himself, that being Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein agreed with Barr. There's nothing here. Just because the president, who proclaimed his innocence loudly for 2 years because he's innocent, we have the FBI investigation, we have the House Intel Committee investigation, the bipartisan investigation, and now the Mueller report. No coordination, no collusion, nothing with Russia. And in spite of all their hopes and dreams and desires and fantasies and conspiracy theories, none of it happened. Yeah, the president was outspoken. Oh, maybe Mueller's conflicted. Frankly, he was conflicted. He got appointed special counsel the day after he didn't get the job that he wanted, which was the FBI director under Donald Trump. He was applying for that job. How interesting. And of course, the conflict that Trump and Mueller had at some golf club, some other issue here. And by the way, under Article 2, constitutionally, president had every right at any time, if he wanted, to fire Barr. And somebody would have replaced him. It just wouldn't have been Mueller. I'm sorry, fire Mueller. He could have done it anytime he wanted. He didn't. That's the best part of it. And the most amazing thing in all of this is that here you have, you know, the attorney general saying he offered to get to for him to correct anything that he disagreed with. Mueller declined. Mueller, when called, said, okay, tell me what you think is wrong and I'll fix it. And then he went the extra step. The attorney general didn't have to release one word to the public on this Mueller report. Not a single solitary word. People like Jerry Nadler, who didn't want the release of the Starr report that had 11 specific crimes committed by then President Clinton. That didn't happen in the Mueller report. They didn't say he committed any crime. They didn't make a judgment on obstruction. They left it to the Department of Justice without any consideration, as the testimony came through yesterday, of whether or not it's possible to indict a sitting president. That wasn't even a factor in their decision. And if Mueller would have had his case, he would have gone with it. And his abusively biased team was trying hard. He wrote a political document, probably didn't write it himself. And what's happening here is just a bunch of, you know, people that can't accept they lied, can't accept they're wrong, can't accept that they lost, the same people that couldn't accept the results in 2016, they still can't accept the results here. It's amazingly similar. Now, they care about collusion. They care about obstruction. Well, listen at the top of the hour, because John Solomon has a story of real attempted collusion that we're going to bust wide open tonight on Hannity. Real collusion with real evidence. And we do have real evidence of obstruction and a real underlying crime. That's with Hillary. That's the Espionage Act. And then subpoenaed 33,000 emails, erased, bleach bit the hard drive, bust up devices with hammers, remove SIM cards. That would be obstruction of justice. They don't care about her obstruction. Only Trump's. That would be with the intent of destroying evidence. That would be with the idea, we're going to hide it all. We're going to get rid of it all because they had an underlying crime. Jonathan Gillum, Danielle McLaughlin, welcome both of you. You know, Danielle, the one thing that stands out is Barr was clear yesterday. It's over. He's not changing his mind on the Mueller report, not changing his mind on the results of the report. But he is investigating the rigged investigation into Hillary. He is investigating FISA abuse. He is investigating the shenanigans in the top echelon of the FBI and the DOJ. And he takes it seriously. And basically, everything they've done to undermine a sitting president is now the focus. We've moved on to act two of this drama, except this time we've got real evidence.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Jonathan. You know, to Bill Barr's credit, he did release the report, almost all of the report. I think there's less than about 8% of redactions, maybe less. So there's a lot of people calling for his resignation. I don't think that's ever going to happen. And I think we have to understand that we do have an enormous amount of Mueller's work in the public domain, and people can make up their own minds. I will say that the concern that many politicians and people are expressing about what he said to Congress and saying he had no knowledge of the concerns of Mueller was that he said that when he had in hand a letter dated March 27th that did say that there were concerns about the context and the nature and the substance of the summary that had gone out into the public. So that's where the problem lies, is that he knew Mueller had an objection or a concern, but he told Congress that he didn't believe there was one, who he didn't have any knowledge. So
he knew, but the problem is that Mueller said there wasn't a problem in the end, that there's nothing that he said, wrote, did that Mueller disagreed with.
Right, but we've seen there's a couple of examples in the Barr letter where he's truncated the findings of what Mueller said.
Well, they released the whole document, and he did it with the intention. Right. And by the way, they could have handed over, as he said, the redacted part of the Mueller report themselves, but that made him have to do their work.
Right, and there are reasons for redactions. There are. We want to.
Okay, but that could have been handed in the day he got the report. Then they were slow to work with the Department of Justice to finish the job. So the timeline is on their side, not on Barr's side. Jonathan.
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to believe anybody's even arguing about this stuff, because it's comical. I mean, you know, Danielle, you have to admit, when it comes to a court case, that, you know, a real court case and a real case has to be based on real evidence, not made up evidence. The case should have stopped in the beginning of this. But the thing that is just driving me crazy here is that I'm really hoping that the people finally see what an echo chamber actually is. That monologue that you play in the beginning, every week it's like you guys come up with these monologues that are phenomenal, because when you play the totality of what these different networks are saying and politicians, it is so coordinated. And because they know that there's no case, and with the way that they're going after Barr is so ridiculous because of the fact that he's come out there and released everything. It doesn't matter if he just sat there during the meeting with Congress and said nothing. The fact is, the entire thing was released. There's nothing anybody can say. And the fact is, the guy that the championed, Mueller, is the one who did the investigation. And so it's hard for me to even understand how this is an argument, except for the fact that the echo chamber is trying to spin up for the next election for the Democrats. And it's boggling to my mind, Danielle, that an attorney like yourself would even contemplate debating this. It's weird for me.
Yeah, Danielle? So, and let me explain that a little bit. I'm happy to explain it. So one of the things that the Attorney General has said and concluded was that there was no obstruction, okay? And obviously, that's a good thing for the country. But what the Mueller report says is that Mueller did not reach a conclusion, but that Congress could, or that Congress might. Attorney General Barr stepped in and said, I don't find it, even though Mueller had left it to Congress. That's one of the problems that people who are critical of this process have said, that Barr inserted himself into a place where Mueller had left it for Congress to determine. And they still might, right? It's going to be a political decision. If they want to start impeachment proceedings, they will.
It's not Congress's job to investigate this stuff. That was Mueller's job. Special counsel.
Right,
that's
right.
The DOJ's job.
Right.
And how can Congress find anything if there's nothing there? That's the
because
gist of
the
this.
Standards are different. The standards are different. So this was a criminal investigation. We already know that the Department of Justice says that a sitting president cannot be indicted. The standard for impeachment is lower and different than a criminal investigation.
We can impeach a president for telling his people don't cooperate with these these investigators because we didn't do anything wrong. What are you going to tell them? There's nothing to tell them. I mean,
well there's two things there. There's two things there. One thing is that you don't have to have an underlying crime to have obstruction of justice. That's number one. Number two, if you look at other impeachment, you think about Nixon or you think about Clinton, those articles of impeachment included some criminal behavior, but some other things that were unbecoming of the office. So, for example, Bill Clinton, he lied under oath, but he also lied to the American people, and that was something that the Congress...
11 specific felonies that Ken Starr put in his report. 11.
Yeah, and it's
interesting. Trump has never been accused of that lying by Mueller or anybody.
Right.
All right, I'm going to have to let it go here, guys, but good to talk to you both. Jonathan, thank you. Danielle, thank you. When we come back, breaking news, John Solomon, real collusion, a huge story. We'll give you a tease, the full breaking story on Hannity tonight with real evidence this time. Wow. Wonder if the media will care. Don't hold your breath. It's Roundup Information Overload, Sean Hannity Show. Toll free, it's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. You know, along with holding them accountable, there is a double standard that needs to be dealt with. And, you know, do people really in the Democratic Party, do they really, really care about obstruction of justice? You know, I think not, because none of these people that have lied to you for 2+ years, none of them that have pushed their conspiracy theories for 2+ years, none of them that got it wrong and they just don't know it yet, but Mueller is done. It is over. It is definitive. The attorney general answered the question yesterday of Lindsey Graham about what is coming, what is going to be investigated, and also what's not going to be investigated anymore. Listen to this.
Do you share my concerns about the FISA warrant process?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the counterintelligence investigation, how it was opened and why it was opened?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns that the professional lack of professionalism in the Clinton email investigation is something we should all look at?
Yes.
Do you expect to change your mind about the bottom line conclusions of the Mueller report?
No.
Do you think the president's campaign in 2016 was thoroughly looked at in terms of whether or not they colluded with the Russians?
Yes.
And the answer is no, according to Bob Mueller.
That's right.
He couldn't decide about obstruction. You did. Is that correct?
That's right.
You feel good about your decision?
Absolutely.
In other words, so every single solitary thing that we have reported on, including, yes, the rigged investigation into Hillary, and yes, the fraud and conspiracy committed 4 times on FISA court judges, and that is lying by omission, not telling the FISA court judges Hillary had a bought and paid for dossier, not telling them that they didn't verify, they didn't corroborate the dossier. They had all been warned about it by Bruce Orr. Now that we have that closed door testimony, he said he warned everybody in August of 2016, but they used it anyway. And then, of course, to bludgeon with now what the New York Times is suggesting might have been Hillary Clinton bought and paid for Russian disinformation to create chaos in our 2016 election season. Yeah, we're getting that. That is now where it is going as it relates to what's to come. And as you just heard, no, I'm not changing my mind on the Mueller report. And he has the definitive voice on that issue as the Attorney General of the United States of America, which is why you have such smearing, slandering, besmirching, attacking, you know, character assassination now against the Attorney General. But as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, a real attorney general, yeah, Bill Barr gets smeared for refusing to duck and cover like Loretta Lynch. Yeah, we also know Loretta Lynch, according to Strzok and Page's closed-door testimony, yeah, they've said that all the decisions to exonerate Hillary on the matter, not the investigation, were made by her in her office. And the fix was in because we all know the Democrats in there. She was never going to get indicted. It was fixed. But Barr's now going to look into all of this. But does anybody, any of these people that perpetuated the hoax, the lies, the conspiracy, do you think they care really about obstruction? Well, do they really care about collusion? Because as you know, we're following this breaking news story out of Ukraine, and every day the story gets bigger and bigger. Now, remember, we first told you how Vice President Biden was over in Ukraine, and he basically, well, let's say, used American tax dollars to threaten the government there to fire a particular prosecutor who we now know was involved in investigating Biden's son. So in other words, he was leveraging $1 billion U.S. tax dollars in aid to get a prosecutor fired. And he said they had 6 hours to do it. And in the end, they did it. They fired the prosecutor who also happened to be investigating his son. Listen.
I said, we're not going to give you $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a got fired.
Oh, well, now the story gets bigger. Last night, John Solomon reported that Nelly Orr is one step, she's now the subject of a criminal referral, and it's another step in the process of holding the Obama administration accountable for their attempts to steal the 2016 election and undo a presidential election. But anyway, the wife of Bruce Orr, the Justice Department, once the fourth highest ranking member, she's now been referred to the Trump Justice Department for possible prosecution on the basis of allegedly making false statements that she made to Congress about who she was giving that Fusion GPS information to. Oh, now John Solomon has even more information we are going to be breaking tonight exclusively on Hannity. And John, you want to go into some of the details? I don't know how much you can get into now. I know what the story is. You're not completely done. You haven't posted it, but let's get a preview.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take people back a couple of weeks, because a couple of weeks ago we said that the collusion story was moving from Russia, where it had been disproven, to Ukraine, where Hillary Clinton might have had a hand in it. And at that time, we reported something that had not been reported in the American media. Ukrainian authorities acknowledged, in fact, a court in Ukraine, their Supreme Court in Ukraine, acknowledged that officials in Ukraine wrongly interfered in the U.S. election by leaking documents about Paul Manafort. And when that ruling came out, it identified two very important people, the head of NABU, which is like the FBI, the anti-corruption FBI of Ukraine, and a parliamentary member named Lushenko. And why has that become important? We've continued to dig, right? Well, what we found out about NABU is that NABU officials were captured in a tape by Ukrainian intelligence. It's now been released in Ukraine, and they boasted on the tape, yeah, we released that information on Paul Manafort because we were trying to help Hillary Clinton get elected. And then we learned from Nelly Orr's testimony and the documents I got from Nelly Orr recently that she and Fusion GPS, she was aware that Fusion GPS was getting some of its dirt on Donald Trump and on Russia, the bogus allegations that have now been disproven from this parliamentary member named Lushenko, the very same person that a Ukrainian court sanctioned and said had illegally intervened in the U.S. election. So that's where the story stood. Until today. Tonight, I will be able to report the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine is acknowledging for the first time that a Democratic National Committee contractor solicited for intelligence, asked for help as a foreign power. Can you please get us dirt on Paul Manafort and Donald Trump? And could you also maybe get the president of Ukraine to come over to the United States, take a question, and slam Manafort in the middle of the election? The Ukraine embassy says that they got this request. They found it to be an improper effort at enlisting a foreign power in the election. They claim in the end, after doing some research, they didn't actually deliver anything to the Democratic National Committee, but it will be the first time that we know a Democratic Party official, a contractor, knowingly solicited a foreign power for help in trying to get dirt on Donald Trump.
All right, so you're saying that a Ukraine official is admitting the DNC was purposely seeking dirt on the Trump campaign vis-a-vis Paul Manafort, and yes, was approached by the DNC. You're not saying that they handed anything over, but there was an attempt to collude with a foreign government to impact the 2016 race. Boy, that sounds familiar.
It sure does. And here's another part of it. The Ukraine embassy had an official, a political officer in the embassy, sweep all the Ukrainian intelligence files for everything they had on Donald Trump. And a document was prepared. What we don't know is whether that document was delivered. The embassy swears it didn't deliver that document. Some of the information described in that document sounds familiar to things that leaked out subsequently. But there is clearly an effort. And what's interesting is the Democratic operative told the embassy a lot. Was very specific what they were going to do. If you can get us this dirt on Manafort, we will spring it on Congress in September and we'll try to get Donald Trump disqualified from the ballot. They were telling a foreign power this was their strategy. All of that's going to be in the story tonight. And it looks a lot more like collusion, overt solicitation, rather than the passive events that now have been ruled out as collusion in the Trump-Russia false story. So we'll have a lot more details.
How much evidence do we have that corroborates this all happened?
Well, there will be an email that will be in the story from the Democratic contractor to a very senior official.
I mean, it's actually, real collusion, real attempt to get a foreign government to impact the 2016 elections, and we actually have real evidence?
Yes, they do.
Amazing.
They do.
Now, what do you think the odds, John Solomon, that the media that has been talking about Russia, 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 collusion, 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 what do you think the odds are when we reveal this tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel, and we're going to lead with this story, among others that we're breaking tonight. What do you think the odds are that our friends in the New York Times and Washington Post and the other cable networks and the big news channels, what do you think the odds are that they are going to report on this? Because I don't think they're very high.
Yeah, there might be. They're increasing. Listen, yesterday the New York Times for the first time acknowledged our reporting on the Biden Burisma Ukraine investigation. They wrote a 5,000-word story. It had some apologia in it for Biden, but they got the basic tenet of the story right, which is Joe Biden got a prosecutor fired who was looking at there, and they found out that the prosecutors I talked to in Ukraine told them the same thing they told me, so the story was true. I think at some point soon the issue of Ukraine is going to have to be focused on. And in fairness, in January 17, Politico did a story hinting that there might have been this plot. At that time, the Ukraine embassy wasn't willing to acknowledge what had happened. Today, they are acknowledging very clearly, on the record, unequivocally, from the ambassador to the United States, who was here in 2016, that they, in fact, did receive this solicitation. They did.
Will this information be sent to the Attorney General's Office of the United States?
Well, keep in mind that we know that the Ukrainian authorities since last fall have been trying to get a meeting with the U.S. Justice Department to relay information on Biden and election tampering, and they have not been able to get that audience. And I think President Trump said on your show Thursday night he has every confidence that Attorney General Barr will now look at it. But to date, the Ukrainians have not gotten that invite, and they have not had their evidence picked up and reviewed by the FBI or the Justice Department. So to be determined.
All right, I want to talk about that more. John Solomon. One of our, look, there's an ensemble cast here that have worked so hard these 2 years, and John at the top of the list, along with so many others. As we continue, John Solomon, investigative reporter with us from The Hill. All right, let me ask you this. What's the latest on Biden and basically, threatening to pull back American money and aid if he doesn't get the prosecutor investigating his son fired?
Yep. I think that the most important development is what happened in the New York Times article yesterday, which is Joe Biden and Hunter Biden locked into very specific stories. And one of the things that they state in that story is that neither one knew anything about any investigation in Ukraine. Ukrainian authorities tell me that is simply
not
true.
So then why did Biden want him fired? Why did Biden say, I'm leaving in 6 hours. You either fire him or I'm taking the money back. You don't believe me? Call Obama.
It's a pretty good question. I think the answer about what Joe Biden and Hunter Biden really knew lies in the documents at the State Department. And I am working on some information there now that I hope will give us a little more clarity. But I do not believe that everybody was flying blind when Joe Biden fired.
So Joe Biden may have a crazy, creepy Uncle Joe may have a collusion problem.
Well, let's follow the facts where they go. But the early evidence suggests that it was pretty well known among Burisma and its board members that this investigation was ongoing. And I have seen documents in the Ukraine court file that clearly state.
Is the prosecutor still alive?
He is, and talking. Amazing. And talked to the New York Times like he talked to me.
Amazing. All right, so we're going to get to this tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. You know, I've been saying this to everybody that's on. I can't name everybody, but, you know, you were kind of like the original member. and I remember we had a conversation, and what did I say to you?
Yeah, you said, let's
over 2 years, way over 2 years ago.
It was in March or February of 17. There's an onion that needs to be peeled back. And I will say this, Sean, so few people paid attention to my reporting early on, stories that are now irrefutably true. And I'm grateful that you gave Sarah and myself and others a platform, a bullhorn, to amplify our factual reporting. It made a big difference. It forced people to pay attention when others were trying to ignore it. And for that, I'm deeply grateful.
Well, maybe when the Washington Post and New York Times give back their Pulitzers for fake news and pushing hoaxes, maybe you guys all deserve one. I would vote for it, but good luck in that process, John.
My father used to always say, my dad was a great police detective, and he used to always say, you're only as good as your next case or your next story. So we got to keep digging and we got to keep writing, and there are a lot more facts and truth to be told. But I do believe that we've turned a corner and we're getting a form of transparency now that was deprived to America for much of the last 2 years.
John Solomon, we'll see you tonight at 9 on Hannity on the Fox News Channel. When we come back, we have the National Day of Prayer. Don't we have a lot to be thankful for, living in the greatest country God gave man? All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. You know, I decided to do this in the final half hour of the program today because, you know, there's something that is so special about this country and about our founders and about our framers, our founding document. We are endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. In other words, they're not government given, they're God given. You know, obviously life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, I think I'm like most people, you know, probably shouldn't admit it. Don't go to church those weekends, busy, etc., a lot of them. And but it is in the fabric and soul of the greatness of this country, because the people in this country are good. The people in this country believe in the founding Judeo-Christian principles that built this country. I know people don't like when you say that. Of course, we believe in religious diversity and freedom of religion. It's not that. And if you look at our founders and our framers, where their influence comes from, by and large, it is that background and those that influenced them. You can read Mark Levin's books, and they give a great history of this. And not to get into that, but, you know, we have been so blessed that we in this country, we often forget all the blessings we have. Around the world, people are not as blessed as we are. The standard of living that we have, the freedom to choose to find our God-given innate natural abilities, bring them to fruition. And ultimately, we're all in the service of other peoples. You supply goods and services to people, what they want, need, and desire. And in the process, you know, you're able to buy a house and hopefully a house, a nice car, live in a safe neighborhood, send your kids to good schools. You know, you work hard, you pay your taxes, you play by the rules, you obey the laws. You know, you put in your 14, 16 hours a day. And, you know, life in general, as the road less traveled says at the beginning, is hard. Anyway, it's a National Day of Prayer. The president celebrated this day by honoring the memory of those who were lost or injured during the attacks in the National Day of Prayer service in the White House Rose Garden today. And you had Rabbi Goldstein, who was wounded in the Saturday shooting at the synagogue in California. He accepted the White House's invitation to D.C. for the National Day of Prayer. He addressed those in attendance in the Rose Garden. And this day of prayer, and remembered the woman that stepped up. Her name is Lori Kay. And she, as the shooter comes into the synagogue, literally threw herself between the gunman and the rabbi. You know, the Bible says that no greater love hath man to lay down their life for another. It's the whole story of Jesus, that he sacrificed his life on the cross so that all of our sins, where we've all fallen beings, can be forgiven. And she did that for her rabbi. You know, we saw 9/11 when everybody else racing to get down those stairs, elevators, to get out the door. There's another group of people. You know, while the place is on fire, just been hit with, you know, jets, they're running up. They know they might not come back. Special people, remarkable people, selfless people, people that serve their fellow man. In her case, she was remembered by the president and by Rabbi Goldstein today. And Oscar Stewart, the combat vet who confronted the shooter and forced him to flee, and another source close to the rabbi confirmed to the Daily News, the Daily Caller News Foundation, that in fact, the people involved in all of this accepted the invitation, and this particular guy that was an amazing combat vet, the invitation to be traveling to D.C. on Thursday. Anyway, Stewart and Jonathan Morales, the off-duty Border Patrol agents who engaged the shooter as he fled from the synagogue, you know, they're going to D.C. where the three of them will take part in a ceremony and all of this to exhort people of faith to stand strong, unified in the face of evil. Whether it manifests itself in anti-Semitism, you know, attacks on churches, the mosque in New Zealand, you name it. We believe in freedom of religion. And unfortunately, there are forces in this world like there have always been. Last century, we lost 100 million human souls. Stalin, Russia, fascism, Nazism, communism. You know, we see the troubles of the people in Venezuela. Should be one of the richest countries on earth. And people are eating out of garbage trucks. And now the country is at the tipping point. And it's going to be either freedom or tyranny. It's not going to be anywhere in the middle. And I just think that playing some of this is a reminder to all of us that we're all Americans, that we're all, I've always believed this, God created every man, woman, and child on this earth. And there just happen to be some people that are inclined to good. Good people have a hard time understanding evil. And then there are other people, for whatever reason, whatever fanaticism, whatever sick ideology motivates them, they do not respect human life. And good people must often battle against those forces. That's what happened in that synagogue. The heroes of that day, especially Lori Kay, deserve our prayers, our thanks, just like our brave men and women that have fought, bled, and died on the battlefield so that we can get up in the morning and pursue our dreams and take care of our families. So I want to play a little of this from earlier today. This was in the Rose Garden at the White House.
On this special day, we join communities and congregations across our country in continuing a great tradition that helped build our nation, and we have built it now stronger than ever before. They're starting to find out. In March of 1776, as the founders prepared to draft the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress asked everyone to join in a day of prayer and fasting for the cause of freedom. They go hand in hand. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Today, we give thanks for this magnificent country, and we proudly come together as one nation under God. Last week, a gunman opened fire at a synagogue in Poway, California, while Jewish families celebrated the last day of Passover. We mourn for the loss of one extraordinary member of that congregation, Lori Gilbert Kay, who stood in front of the shooter and gave her life to protect her rabbi, an incredible man, an incredible person. This morning, we are privileged to be in the presence of heroes who raced after the murder and helped disrupt the attack at the Poway Synagogue. Army veteran Oscar Stewart and Border Patrol agent Jonathan Morales. We're also profoundly honored to be joined by somebody that I've gotten to know a little bit by telephone. I had what was going to be about a one-minute conversation just to express my sorrow and gratitude and everything else you could express, and it ended up being about 25 minutes, and it was he's a very warm, incredible man. Yisrael Goldstein, Rabbi. And I'll tell you, it wasn't in the schedule, but Rabbi, I'd love to bring you up because there was nobody that expressed the horror and the beauty of what you represent better than you did. And I very much appreciate it, Rabbi. I know you're here with your son and your brother. I very much appreciate it. Please come up and say a few words. Good time.
Just 5 days ago, Saturday morning, I faced evil and the worst darkness of all time, right in our own house of worship, right at Chabad HaPaway. I faced him, and I had to make a decision. Do I run and hide, or do I stand tall and fight and protect all those that are there? We cannot control what others do, but we can't control how we react. My dear Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, taught me the way we react to darkness is with light. It was that moment that I made a decision. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to save as many people as possible. I should have been dead by now, based on the rule of statistics. I was in the line of fire, bullets flying all the way. My fingers got blown off, but I did not stop. The Rebbe taught me, as a Jew, you are a soldier of God. You need to stand tall and stand fast and do whatever it takes to change the world. My life has changed forever, but it changed so I could make change. And I could help others learn how to be strong, how to be mighty and tall. Many have asked me, Rabbi, where do we go from here? How do we prevent this? And my response is what my Rebbe told me when President Ronald Reagan was shot. The Rebbe said, we need to go back to the basics and introduce a moment of silence in all public schools so that... so that children from early childhood on could recognize that there's more good to the world, that they are valuable, that there is accountability, and every human being is created in God's image. If something good could come out of this terrible, terrible, horrific event, let us bring back a moment of silence to our public school system. I also want to thank the United States of America. I'd like to thank our dear, honorable Mr. President for being, as they say in Yiddish, a mensch par excellence. Mr. President, when you called me, I was at home weeping. You were the first person who began my healing. You heal people in their worst of times, and I'm so grateful for that.
So beautiful. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
You have helped me bring great honor to Mrs. Lori Kay of blessed memory, a 60-year-old dear friend of our congregation. I've known her for 25 years, a staunch volunteer. She works for the Friendship Circle, an organization that helps children with special needs. This year, on June 2nd, we're doing a march in her memory to show that nothing is going to stop us. We're going to march with victory, and you helped us bring Lori Kay great honor. And God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you, Reverend. Thank you. Thank you.
Such beautiful words, a great man. And he said, this is my greatest moment in life, to go from darkness to the White House, right? That's great. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Rabbi. I appreciate it.
That's from the National Day of Prayer in the Rose Garden from earlier today. Pretty profound. we are a blessed people. And, you know, I know we're too busy to think about it a lot. Just busy. And there's so many things that when you stop and you reflect and you're introspective in those quiet moments that we sadly too occasionally have, I think we all know how lucky we are. That's why we don't build walls to keep people in. So many people want to come here to get what we have. Pretty amazing story. We inherited a great blessing, and we have a duty to preserve it. That's a big part of the story. That's where we are at this point in time. That's why we've got to get those accountable for the things that they've done that came too close to becoming real from ever being able to do stuff like that again. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on Fox. Yes, we've got breaking news. We have an exclusive John Solomon report. Also, a media freakout, meltdown, total denial. They lost. They pushed a hoax conspiracy for 2+ years, and they can't handle it. Also, Eric Trump tonight, Greg and Sarah, Geraldo, Dan Bongino, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Joe Concha, Sean Spicer. 9 Eastern Hannity, breaking news, real collusion. We'll explain at 9. Thanks for being with us. See you tonight.